Good evening. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, 104.1 FM, KSCO.com. It's now 6 minutes past 7 p.m. I'm Chris Spencer with your weather and traffic updates for tonight. Let's see, mostly cloudy out there this evening, a low around 49. For Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 65. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, low around 50. And Thursday, a 50% chance of rain and a high near 60. Monterey Bay boaters forecast for tonight. West winds 10 knots, becoming east after midnight. Wind waves 3 feet in the evening, becoming 2 feet or less. In a west swell, 9 to 12 feet at 15 seconds. Quick look at your traffic out there this evening. And looks like a traffic collision. State Road 25 near San Benito in the King City area near Hernandez there. And it's about 54 degrees here at KSCO. Up next, Off the Lip Radio Show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comment.
Good evening and welcome to Off the Lip, the show about surfing and skateboarding. If you'd like to join the show tonight, give us a call at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, here are your hosts for tonight's program, Neil Perlberg and Terry Campion.
Good evening and welcome to the Off the Lip Radio Show, show number 248, broadcasting live right here from Santa Cruz, California. Returning as our guest tonight with my dear friend and co-host, Mr. Terry Campion. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank Darren Caddis from last week from Plantronics for being our guest co-host.
I love how he could be a stunt double.
He was great.
Oh, he's a stud, too. Yeah. His story's amazing.
And Supervisor John Leopold was a good guest last week. I liked him better last time than I did the first time.
Did you ask him about the lighted crosswalks?
I did. Did you not hear?
No.
Oh,
I was out of range.
There's a lot of work going on at Pleasure Point, so he's on it.
Okay.
Yeah, he said he was on it. He's willing to take care of that for you.
A couple of blinking lights down there can save a life.
Right there by the 7-Eleven?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, or right there by the Cat and Cloud.
For sure, right there, too. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we want to get people out of cars. So let's make it safer to walk.
All right. In studio tonight. What'd you call this guy? First of all, he's been shaping. I thought it was 50 years, but now it's 51 years.
51.
Of shaping surfboards.
Still a milestone plus.
He could have been designing or architecting buildings. He said, no, I won't do that.
Yeah, he picks surfboards.
When we talk about that. But you called him what? The style master?
A legendary shaper and style master. Yeah.
How come you gave him that style master name? I know, I've seen him. He's pretty good.
No, fantastic feat. Yeah, you know.
Fantastic feat. Yeah. Also in studio, one of our sponsors decided to show up with lemon bars that you and ITC cannot eat, even though we're eating them.
You know,
cannot eat is big from Surf City Sandwich.
The lemon bars were awesome tonight.
So we're going to kick off. We've got Michelle Jeannot here, who, if you're in the surf industry and you live here in Santa Cruz or worldwide, the name Michelle Jeannot should be at the forefront because of all the work he's done around surfing, all the happy people, the thousands of happy people who have surfed his boards, and also the happy people who've watched him surf.
Or got dropped in by him.
Yeah,
that happens too. I probably get an equal amount of.
We're apologizing in advance for everybody who's ever been dropped in by Michelle.
They're probably going.
Yeah, you think you're on a wave, and you go, wait, you got a wave, and all of a sudden, whammo, out of nowhere, he's like, oh shoot, Michelle, she knows I'm midway with
you. It's out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Come from.
Well, I was taking off behind the suppers yesterday and keeping up with them, so I was pretty stoked.
Nice.
Kirk McGinty from L41 Super said he said he was going to call in. He won't call in, but he said he wants to say thank you to you because you let him have a wave.
Will you mic Michelle up a little bit too?
I will.
My little there. I want to congratulate you guys in two more shows, 250.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
That's pretty monumental. That's a lot of years, huh?
And that's been like 5 years.
I think I deserve a raise.
Sure.
New bonus you got coming up at $250.
You got a lemon bar. What more do you want?
Exactly.
Well, shut up.
And then for $250, we have a big show. The Expendables are going to be here.
The Expendables. Wow. What do you mean who?
I said woo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the woo. Okay.
Yeah, they put on. Man, they come in here. Who knows what they're going to do, but normally they come in and do an acoustic.
Yeah.
That wow, they're
very good.
Nice.
Probably the best band. Probably the best band to come out of Santa Cruz, I think.
I'll tune in.
You know, yeah. They're top five for sure. And right. I'm not even gonna say who my other favorites are.
Hey,
but,
do any of them serve?
Yeah. They're
Kill
into it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Michelle. Yeah. Do you remember your first day?
My first day.
Was your first day after? Was your first day? You know, in the surfing business? Did you wear the hat? The first day you wore the hat in the surf industry, was it after the architectural class at Cal Poly?
No. It was interesting. The first thing I ever did was learn to patch dings, and that was basically, you know, my buddy showing me how. But my first actually factory experience was in 1966, and it was in Belmar, New Jersey, because I surfed on the Challenger surf team out of San Diego. And this guy, Carl Tinker West, decided to move his whole operation to the East Coast.
Why?
The East Coast was blowing up.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were selling more boards in California.
Right.
It's crazy.
It was like Japan or something.
Yeah, it was like 1966, and it was nuts. So I went back there, and the first thing I did some polishing. I learned to polish, and then he taught me to shape. So it was a mentoring thing, and so I didn't get into a garage like most guys do nowadays and just start flailing away and ruining blanks. So I did, you know, I'd skin it first, and then after I got those dialed, he let me template some and cut them out and kind of work slowly towards the finished product, which is how you want to be mentored. So that's how I started in the surfboard industry.
Did you learn to surf before you started shaping?
Oh, yeah.
Who taught you how to? What age was that?
He was on the team.
I know. Who took you to the water and stuck a surfboard beneath your feet?
So that's an interesting story. So when I was a kid, I grew up in Santa Monica, beach kid, body surf, swim, whole deal. But I was so small, one of the smaller guys in my class, and so I couldn't get my arm around a regular surfboard. I couldn't. It was just huge. I was probably, I don't know, 12 years old. And so I saved up my money, and I bought a custom-made Jacobs surfboard, 710, 20 inches wide, 3/4-inch redwood stringer with a wood glass on fin, you know, laminated fin, $100.
Wow.
Brand new.
Right.
$4 tax. Right. Still remember it. Wow. Wish I had the board. It was perfectly scaled-down board. So I started surfing on May 31st, 1962. On the south side of the Santa Monica Pier. I remember my first wave. I didn't stand up. Everything was going so fast. I saw a piece of kelp fly by, and I went, oh, my.
What happened to that board?
I sold it. Traded it in for an 810.
Wish you had it still today.
That board would be worth so much money. It was 710.
Wish you had it today.
It's funny. Before we start the show tonight, we're talking about stuff that, you know, we can't remember anything. And he remembers the date he started surfing. And
it was important.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I remember because I was waiting to get my new board and the whole deal, you know. Parents drive me down there in the station, 58, Pontiac station wagon, throw it in the bag, come home. Yeah, I got one, you know, wet wax, dripping the wax on, the whole thing.
Hooked. Get a phone call, TC. I'm not sure who this is and where they're calling from. We're going to find out. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Hugh from Sausalito.
Hey, Hugh.
Hey, buddy.
Right on, Hugh.
Question is, what's the state of surfing in the next 50 to 75 years?
Well, I won't live that long, so I don't care. No, I do care. I have no idea. It's probably going to be super crazy. It doesn't lose interest anywhere in the world, right?
Right.
I mean, it just continues to grow.
Yeah.
So, Hugh, I don't know what to say on that. Hugh's a good buddy of mine.
I'm going to take my answer off air, by the way.
You going to what?
Thanks, Hugh, for the call.
Okay.
He's going
off air.
Thanks, Hugh. Buddy. Appreciate that.
I think there's going to be wave pools everywhere.
I think you're right. I also think they should take wave energy machines and put them at good points, like in bays and stuff, in the Bahamas or wherever. So you don't build a big pool. You have the tides come and clean the water, and somehow you set this thing up, and you just pump the waves in a place that never gets waves. It's in a clean venue with no wind.
Well, I saw tonight on the internet today this river where they just plopped in this preformed cement thing.
Okay.
And it was the largest standing wave.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I was watching, reading something on Facebook tonight where this, someone said they've never seen that many people at Indicators or Carols as it was yesterday.
I know.
They said there must have been 200-300 people out there.
Probably. Everybody came to town. I know that.
Yeah. So. Well, it's good for, I mean, it's not good for you in some way because you want to serve. But in other ways, it's good for you because you manufacture surfboards.
I'm not against the popularity of the sport. I'm really not. I mean, once you surf, anybody who's listening who hasn't surfed, just go try it. If you haven't surfed, you know, you don't understand. If you've surfed, you understand that everybody wants to do it.
Has the commercialism of surfboards like Costco boards and, you know, wave storms and so forth affected you in any way?
I'm sure it has in a sense, but I even tell people, like, parents will come in with a kid. And they go, well, why don't you make him a board? Oh, he's been surfing. Oh, he's not really been surfing too much yet. And I go, okay, just go and buy him a Costco board. See if he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Why spend $800-900 on a beautiful new board and he's not interested?
Yeah.
I'll just tell him outright, then come and see me when he gets better and wants to do a custom board. I don't think custom boards are for beginners. I really don't.
Right.
So, but it hurts. I think it hurts all the industry because... You know, we'd be selling those boards, and they'd be made in USA.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I agree. It's one thing if they were made here. Costco is the largest surfboard manufacturer in the world.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And then the only thing nice about them is they don't ding when they hit you. But besides that, they're kind of
they don't give you stitches.
Yeah, they don't give you stitches, or they don't wreck your board.
Have you ridden one?
I have not.
Okay, me neither. TC.
I haven't.
This portion of the show is brought to you by... She's texting me, going, where's my action? Where am I?
All right.
Julie from Toyota.
Oh, Julie's looking for action.
Well, not that action.
Oh, God. TC. You're the one who said
it, not me. She's looking for me to set the action.
She's trying to sell cars, right?
She's trying to sell cars. I was
okay, so the action we're talking about is we're
not
selling
that
cars.
Action.
All right, well, there's always action out there.
She's
going to
kill me.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, well, you know, you said action.
No, we're not that action.
All right, gotcha. So
I was up there today.
Toyotas.
I was up there today. They got the new. They got like apparently these are rare. The TRD Pro Series.
Yeah.
Apparently they're like the like a unicorn. You can't find them. They have 7 of them. So if you're looking for the Toyota Tundra,
it's a nice
the
truck.
Tacoma, or the 4Runner, and the TRD Pro Series, there's 7 of them sitting there right there at Toyota of Santa Cruz. Not they're used. So if you want to save some money. They're sitting right there, and they are gorgeous.
Used TRDs up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they got seven. So Simon, the used car manager, has been looking, scouring the planet for them. He has 7 of them. So anyway.
All right, there you go.
They're right there at the corner 41st and Highway 1. Thank you, Julie.
For the action.
She's going to kill me. This is Neil TC here tonight with Michelle Jeannot, also in the house, Fig, from Surf City Sandwich. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Numa and Isaac from Aloha Island Grill. Well, summer's right around the corner here in Santa Cruz, and that means one thing. It's time to come get your grind on at the Aloha Island Grill.
Come over to Aloha Island Grill and eat some food.
We're located on the corner of Portola and 17th Avenue, and we've got a beautiful lanai for you to come sit out on. We've got a fine assortment of plate lunch, fresh ahi poke, and other wonderful treats for you to enjoy.
My favorite food at Aloha Island Grill is Kalua Pig.
We've got ice-cold beer and wine for those hot summer days. And try some of our homemade POG, Passion Orange Guava Juice. It's delicious. For to-go orders, give us a call at 479-3299. Find us on the web at AlohaIslandGrill.com or come on down to 1700 Portola Drive. Aloha Island Grill is a proud member of Think Local First.
A&B Insurance has been serving the Santa Cruz community for over 85 years. Manufacturing, wholesale, retail, restaurants, not-for-profits. If you can think of an iconic Santa Cruz company, we've probably worked with them, and we'd love to work with you. Give us a call at 831-423-4304. Check us out on the web at anbins.com. Or stop by at 931 Mission Street in Santa Cruz. And tell us you heard it on the radio on KSCO.
Hey, this is Fig from Surf City Sandwich. We offer the finest craft sandwiches in the county.
with unique and creative flavor combinations sure to satisfy. Our motto, Go Fresh or Go Home, means we take the quality and consistency of our food very seriously. Fresh local bread and produce is delivered to us each day so you can be sure you are eating the best grinds in town, like our delicious tiki tuna or Vulcan mind melt. Try out our latest creations, The Claw, Chipotle Chicken Club, and Calabrian Meatball. We offer craft beer with 8 rotating taps, featuring some of the top local brewers in Santa Cruz. Located at the north end of 41st Avenue in the Soquel Tower Plaza. Call us for takeout at 346-6952. Check out our website for online ordering at surfcitysandwich.com and be stoked on sandwiches.
And we're back with the Off the Lip radio show here. Right to my left on my shoulder here. Who are you?
Get in here.
You're going to be right there. Who are you?
I'm Hannah. Okay. My dad is the owner of Surf City Sandwich.
Okay, now you're the daughter of Fig.
Yes.
Okay, here's a question for you. It's a tough one. Your favorite Surf City sandwich is?
Oh, I have to say the Lotus.
The Lotus?
Or the Claw.
What's the Lotus? I haven't had the Lotus. What's the Lotus?
The Lotus is the vegetarian burger.
Ooh, I'm going to give that a try. Oh, I'm going to give that a try.
Lauren gets that. My wife gets that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, I'm going to try that. The Lotus. Haven't tried that yet. The Claw, though, with the crab sandwich with the avocado.
Oh, brother. That is good.
Huh?
That's good.
I tell Fig, he should have a little sign on his sandwiches that say nap. You have to have a nap. Because after you have like 4 or 5 of them on there, but if you eat one, you're going to go home and go to bed. You're done for the day.
You can borrow a pillow.
That's it. Tonight, our guest is the one and only Mr. Michel Jeannot, who's celebrating many decades, over 5 decades of shaping surfboards. Where were we, TC?
That's 50 years.
I know. It's amazing. I'm not going to ask you how many surfboards you shape because you got no idea.
Well, I did have a question.
Sure.
It's a question we ask everybody who has 50 years experience.
Oh, that one.
That question.
We haven't asked that one for a while.
Neil, hit it. Let's do it.
Okay. You ready, Michelle?
I'm ready.
The question we ask the old timers this, all the veterans, okay? Your favorite decade is or was?
For what?
For surfing.
Okay, for surfing.
Or for life.
Yeah.
Probably the 70s. I lived in Hawaii in the 70s. I lived here from 70, 74, 74 to 78 North Shore, and then 78 in the 80s on Kauai.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much the first decade of shortboard performance surfing in Hawaii, and it wasn't crowded.
Right. I can't even imagine what you saw, because I think of like Dane and, you know, Hackman and those guys back then. Like
surfing with Eddie Aikau, surfing
the idols of idols.
You know, with Lopez, surfing Sunset with, you know, there might be 15 guys out, but everybody knows what they're doing, and everybody's sharing and just, you know, it's unreal. Or, you know, I've got a picture of me on my wall where there's 4 of us out. It was 20 feet in the morning. By the afternoon, it was 10 to 12 feet at Sunset Beach, and it was perfect, and we were 4 of us out.
Wow. Unheard of.
You know, that doesn't...
No.
Or the same thing at Pipeline. And now, I saw that... You see Jaws the other day?
No.
There was like 40 guys out.
Right.
2 days ago. I mean, I was going, this is super dangerous.
Right. Like,
Timmy Facebooked that live. Pono Timmy.
Did he?
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook. Yeah, he was at Jaws.
So, 70s are my favorites because even here in Santa Cruz... On school days, nobody out the lane.
Mm. Yeah.
And that when you were in North Shore that time, were you working with Lightning Bolt then? Was that?
I had my own label, and then I shaped for Surfline Hawaii, which is a shop in Honolulu. Lightning Bolt, the shop in Honolulu, and Brewer's Surfboards in Honolulu. So we made the boards on the North Shore, because that's where all the surfers and board builders were, and then we brought them into
downtown. Downtown, right.
Yeah, so we'd go in every couple of weeks with 4 or 5 for each shop, and I made custom boards, so it was a good life.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Is this something you incorporate into your boards today that you've done with all your boards since the very beginning?
Yes and no. So surfboard design obviously has really, really progressed in the last 50 years.
Right.
From boards that had soft rails that didn't work very well in big waves to hard edge boards that worked better, but the rockers were too straight and the templates were too narrow and... You know, so all the stuff that we were doing, it got better and better as the designs got better. So the boards that I make today are kind of a combination of retro boards in the 70s and 80s and 60s long boards, but I've tuned them up to where they work better. because it's just like somebody who's a race car driver or anything that you've progressed through different eras. And you say, hey, some of these things just didn't work. And other things, hey, they were cool. That was happening. And so with surfboards, because there's so many different kind of waves and there's so many different kind of people that ride them, I specialize in custom boards.
Yeah.
So I can talk with them through the whole process of what they're looking for.
I was just going to say one thing. When he was talking, when you mentioned the race car part, because I do that, sometimes I get so frustrated, I think I have to go backwards. You know what I mean? Like you go in a direction that's not the right one at all, and you're like, are we going in the right direction? And maybe with shaping, you've had to have had times like that.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you a story that I can still remember clear as day. It was probably 1976, sunset. It's, you know, it's 10 to 12, 15 feet. And I get out of the water, and there's Reno Abalera sitting on the beach with his board, and he's looking at it, and he's going, "That this wasn't working right." Right? He was trying to figure it out, and there was kind of a frustrated look on his face. And we all went through that. You know, where you get a new board and you take it out and you're wondering, why doesn't it work right? And that's what changes surfboard design. Hmm. And I discovered probably, I don't know, 20 years ago, they figured out the thruster. They finally just figured it out. And you go into a shop and they're all exactly the same. There's different models now, but they're the Kelly Slater boards, whatever they are. They're all the same because they figured out what works best. Probably similar to race car driving,
right,
you know,
right, or
any other sport, you know, or talking about boats, speed boats, you know, whatever it is, they figure it all out hydrodynamically, and then they go, okay, this is it.
Right.
And so
push the envelope, reel it in.
Yeah, reel it in a little bit. But now, because there's so many different levels of surfing, from the hottest guys in town to the beginners and everybody in between, and all the different stylists and how they want to surf and what they want to ride and what break, there's almost an infinite number of designs that work well enough for what people want to do. So, yeah, I was out at Privates yesterday and today. I must have seen, you know, 20 different types of surfboards.
Right. Well, I think there's a trend to tackle surfboards, like to ride something that's unrideable and master it, you know. And so
there,
it's like people are riding plywood out there now.
I know. There is that thing. I'm too old to start going back and trying to learn something I can't do. So I don't do that. But anyways, for the guys who can ride the finless boards and all that, and I've seen this guy, Jared Mell, he's a surfer out of Southern California. I saw him ride a finless board at Malibu one day, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, he was in total control and totally out of control as far as where the board was going.
Mm-hmm, right.
It was mind-boggling.
Right. Bar soap in the shower?
Yeah, exactly. It's just unbelievable. It's the same thing with watching John surf. You just go, what's he going to do next? You go, oh!
Yeah.
You know, so it's that kind of level that some of these guys have that just...
And speaking of John, I watched like his 10 best nines, like his scores today. Like it was a clip of his best waves. And oh, my gosh.
Ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How close are the waves, are the surfboards that a beginner would get to an expert? I mean, how much difference is there really?
Well, it depends on the size of board.
Someone walks into you, you know, someone walks into you, and you've said, this guy knows what he's doing, and somebody walks into you the first time owners a board. Is there a huge difference?
Yes and no. So I'll give an example. If somebody comes to me, it's usually sent by a friend or somebody that they've tried one of my boards, and let's say they've, you know, been surfing 6 months. So they can get up and stand and start to turn, and they want a custom board. And I ask them, you know, what kind of waves do you ride? So right off the bat, then I know where they're at and their level and what they need to have. One of my longboards is called an Easy Rider, and I made it specifically for an intermediate surfer, but I rode an Easy Rider last 2 days in overhead surf because it's got a good bottom on it, but it's, you know, you can make it a little wider, more stable. I had a narrower one today, and it works great. So I don't try to make beginner boards because I don't want people to grow out of a board. I don't think there should be a thing as a beginner board. What, that doesn't work good?
Right.
Because they're no good yet?
Right.
I mean,
you want to progress.
Yeah, I want to progress. So for me, number one, for an intermediate beginner surfer is a board that catches waves and a board that can turn well and it'll go fast. And if it paddles fast, it usually goes fast. And then they get stoked, they get more waves,
right,
and they come and see me again for the next one.
Right. You talked about outside, about you were went to Cal Poly back in the 60s, right?
69.
And you studied architecture?
Yep.
And so you were drawing pictures of buildings.
Sitting inside of a building.
And you decided that wasn't for you. So Did you decide that? When, what point did you decide, you know what? I know what, you could probably, as an architect, you'd be very, end up to be a very wealthy gentleman.
I know.
Right? And making a surfboard, as a surfboard shaper, as you self-proclaimed, you know, it was...
Not a lot of money in it.
Not a lot of money in it.
Yeah.
So are you glad you took the route you took?
I am. I'm really happy.
So the quality, yeah, the quality of your life is
quite like a lot bigger. Earlier, I got to surf Sunset Beach,
right,
and Pipeline and Waimea and Velzile, all these places with uncrowded, you know.
Well, just think of all the smiles on a surfboard that you created.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine that big in the big picture of things. I mean, we're talking thousands of surfboards that have magic waves under them.
Yeah, a friend of mine, she just Jeannie Troy, she got a board and for her daughter, and she asked me today who's when you're coming on the show. I said today, and she sent me a picture of her daughter on the thing, and it just it's a daughter's board, but mom is on the cliff as proud as anything and so stoked that her daughter's riding that board that you shaped for her.
Right. No,
so there's a lot of families like that.
Yeah, I remember when Jenny came in with her mom, and then she went off to school.
Right.
And
Lucy is her name.
Yeah, and she wasn't back in time when it was ready.
Right.
And she came back, I think, for Thanksgiving and then got the board. So I'm glad to hear she was stoked.
Mm. Very, really very cool. Stoked. There's a lot of families you made very, very happy.
Yeah, and that's what's so cool about Santa Cruz is there's generations now, obviously, of surfers and families who participate, and it's so much fun to get people, you know, that smile, you know, that big smile on their face. Or when you hoot at somebody, whether you know them or not, because they're getting a good ride, you know, it's such a stoker.
How's your
I enjoy that.
I got an interesting thing I was going to say is when I first met you when I worked for Chuck Strelick at Westcliff.
And
when
that's a long time
ago. Yeah, you'd come into town and you'd shape boards. And,
I was living in Hawaii at the time.
Yeah, but you'd come back and you'd do it batches, and I would polish those. And one of the things I remember about your boards then is, and not a lot of people do, is you did a lot of multi-stringer and your art shaping, which is prevalent today. But you were doing that when not a lot of people were.
Right. I always wanted to have something a little special about my boards, and by nature I'm a perfectionist, so I spend a lot of time on them. I won't say names, but I've, you know, you live in Hawaii and stuff. You know, guys would rush out these boards, and we'd had a glass shop, and you'd see, you know, stringers off and just stuff. And the boards were fine, but they weren't spending the time. I just can't have something leave my hands that doesn't fit my quality standards, you know. And making surfboards, you can't. Mike Wash once told me, I was working over at the Howd shop. He goes, "Hey, we're not making watches." In other words, you got to stop somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you, I always felt personally that you were at the time, and continue to, but now it's, I think, way more popular to build boards that way. But your boards were like, in my opinion, are wall hangers as well as surfboards.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I make a number of those. I have a balsa board that I shaped on my above my entertainment center at home, and it's never going to be ridden. It's for my wife. And it's like a 7.7 gun, kind of a 70s style, but modern. And it's just beautiful, you know. It's just art. You know,
Is there balsa blanks available?
I can get them.
You can still get them?
Yeah, I got a couple still in my shop.
Huh.
There you go.
Well, or that's again, if somebody wants to get a balsa board, can they reach you? How?
831-427-0712.
There you go.
Or on my website, yeah.
Okay, go straight to the website, contact. Yep. I want a balsa board.
Okay, this is Neil TC here with Michelle Janot. Before we go to break, this portion of the show is brought to you by Buell Wetsuits. TC, I wore my brand new Buell wetsuit today.
Got bones on it?
No, I didn't get one of those. I didn't get the bones one. No.
Come on, dude.
No. I didn't get the bones.
Plain Jane,
simple, 3-2.
All the kids are wearing the bones
fit
now.
Like, I'm not a kid. Fit like a, I can't believe you said that. Fit like a glove.
Mm-hmm.
A great time surfing. An amazing wetsuit. And I want to thank the guys at Buell Surf Shop right there on 912 41st Avenue. Capitola or Santa Cruz, which is right there on 41st Avenue.
Right there.
And if you get a chance, you can enter for a drawing for a new wetsuit if you just roll into the surf shop before January 31st, where they're going to hold a drawing for a brand new 3-2 or 4-3. This portion of the show is also brought to you by Lighthouse Bank. My boy John Sisk right down there at Lighthouse Bank, member of FDIC. I'm sure John's been surfing the last couple of days. Especially, right?
It's flat.
The bank was closed Monday. I guarantee you Sisk was out there. I want to thank John Sisk from Lighthouse Bank for sponsoring the show. Neil TC here with Michelle Janot. We'll be right back with a very short break. Don't go away.
This is Brett and Timmy.
And Cleo's in Cleo's Corner at Pono Hawaiian Grill.
Featuring wraps, teriyaki bowls, plate lunches, amazing and creative salads, vegetarian and gluten-free options, and over 20 different types of poke, all made to order, fast, fresh, and healthy. And what's your favorite, Cleo?
The chicken fingers.
Located at 120 Union Street in downtown Santa Cruz. Call us for takeout at 831-426-PONO or check us out on the web at PonoHawaiianGrill.com. We put the ONO in PONO.
Hey, this is Steve Pereira, the beach guy at Bailey Properties in Santa Cruz. My wife Diane and I have been selling beach homes in the Santa Cruz area since 1982. But what we're really selling is the lifestyle. This is what we call Pereiradice. We'd love to have you here in Santa Cruz County. If you've been looking for a beach home or you want to sell your beach home, give us a call. We have the experience, knowledge, and we're fun to work with. Hey, check us out on lifesabeach.com, where you can check out updated listings at the beach. Thanks for your support. Give us a call. My wife, Diane, at 818-5939, and Steve at 818-7064. We're the beach people here in Santa Cruz. Give us a call. We know the beach.
And we're back with the Off-The-Net Radio Show. I just want to mention Jeff Winterhold of North Bay Ford, who sponsors my tomorrow's show. But he's texting me going, yeah, he's looking for some action, GTC.
Well, the action...
Wait, hang on. There we go.
I was going to say the action will be getting my van on the road, which I bought and love.
What's wrong with
ready
it?
Ready for tune-up.
All right. Really quickly...
And they, by the way, North Bay Ford's got a great shop.
They do?
Yep.
All right, good. You can watch the show live tonight on Santa Cruz Waves. Didn't mention that. If you want to go to Facebook, go
you're
to Santa
right
Cruz
now.
Waves Facebook page.
You're looking
you
good.
You can watch live. If
and
you
hey, by the way, you're wearing a Surf City sandwich. I can see it live on our Facebook Live right now. Boom.
See? Representing.
Yep.
Boom. Let me see. 831-479-1080 if you have a call for the one and only great Michelle Juneau. What questions you got for him, buddy?
Well, I was driving here thinking about it because
I have one.
You did have one.
It's right here. It was right here.
Mm-hmm.
Your movie career. Is there something in the works after the Thomas Campbell? The last one you did was a great surf movie.
The Present.
The Present. He did an unbelievable job with that.
We had
movie.
A great time. Yeah, yeah. I don't have anything on the future. Haven't been asked anything lately, so I don't know. One's fine. I mean, you know, it was really fun doing that.
Yeah, you guys went to some great surf like Morocco and.
No, we spent a whole month in West Africa.
Right. Was it Morocco or Senegal?
It was Senegal, but then it was these islands off the coast, okay. Cabo Verde, actually. So
beautiful
pirate country.
I guess back in the day, but it was
pretty mellow.
Yeah, it's very windy, but it's offshore. A lot of sailboards there and kite surfers and stuff. Yeah.
Right.
And so, but no, the waves are fantastic. Yeah, it was really nice. People were nice. It was great.
Crowded?
No.
No one.
It's
no
winter time, so right now it's breaking.
Right.
It's the low pressures that go off of North Sea and then go towards, you know, Canada and the mainland.
Wow.
So it throws down.
How many continents have you surfed on?
I think six. I think I was counting six.
Six continents.
Yeah.
That's a good life.
It's been around.
I've been around, but, you know.
You've been around.
It's been fun.
Do you have a question for him?
Well,
I
did, actually. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
But one of them was, you know, I was thinking this because you're a really good nose rider.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And a lot of people that surf and ride longboards or even shortboards, for that matter, that's, I think, their goal is to be a good nose rider. So I think it's the hardest to master.
It is a unique kind of feeling, too.
One bit of advice for somebody to help them maybe be better.
Well, the board's important. The design of the board's important. But just being – you should watch what other people do. For some reason, if you start surfing young, you can get pretty good at it. I haven't seen very many people who start surfing later in life who can ride the nose well. I don't know what that is. I think that your muscle memory and all that develops so much quicker when you're young. You know, you notice these virtuoso piano players, violinists, guitar players, and they're 14 and they're just killing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, What? Well, there's just something about being young and being into something and being able to do that. And the other, just technically setting up the board on the wave and when it's time to run to the nose. If it's too early, the board, you know, on the wave forming, if it's too early, it's going to purl. If it's too late, what happens is it speeds up and then the whole thing lets go if you're too far back in the curl. So there's this thing of being on it just as the wave gets the right steepness, and then you're plugged into the side of the wall. And if the wave's right, you can just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this super weightless feeling. You don't feel like any other part of the board.
Right.
You're just kind of...
I think for a lot of people, it's that fear factor of making it to the end, you know. I think you can shuffle your way kind of up
right.
three quarters of the way, you know, and then it's the making it to that fear factor, making it all the way
right.
to the end of the board.
Well, so it's kind of almost like an all. You got to use you're unweighting the nose, and you run up as it's unweighting, then everything comes back down on a plane, and off you go.
Yeah, so you made a point. What happens if you shuffle and you get to the middle and you kind of freeze, then the board speeds up,
yeah.
and you can't go anymore.
Right.
You got to get
right.
up there as it's starting to accelerate and then plug it in right at the end, and then it goes.
There you go.
So it's kind of and all of a sudden it becomes like riding a bike.
One thing I noticed about him, and I'm going to say it here, I think I said it before, is you can see if you're standing at the point or standing at the hook or standing at the steps at Priors, you know, there's a lot of people out there and they're all dressed in black. Everyone's got a wetsuit on. And so they start surfing. You don't know who it is, you know, but you know who Michelle is.
Mm, yeah.
You know when you look out there and it can be 200 yards away, and you know when Michelle's surfing. I can tell. Anybody else? No. Most people know.
Well, he's like a cat.
As you said, it's a style master.
Yeah, you know, it's the yeah. Yeah.
And it's so weird because I didn't ever try to be different than I am. I think, you know, there's so style is kind of back. You know, a lot of stylish stuff going on. And sometimes it looks a little forced. You can tell when a surfer's trying too hard to be stylish and stuff. I remember when it was probably 1965, and everybody was copying this kind of Dewey Weber thing where you lean back and your arm was way back and you
yeah,
arched.
Yeah,
Terry Sims.
And they would, yeah, like a Terry Sims thing. But that's part of Terry's thing. Mm-hmm. That's just his thing. But everybody was doing that for a while. It got so cliched. It got mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. weird, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost gets that way in any kind of a sport. If something becomes popular, you're just doing it because you think it looks cool. It don't look cool.
Right. And in Terry's defense, he's always done it.
Yeah.
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 He's not.
And he's very flamboyant in his stylish. Whether it's a turn or he's got a lot of arms and mm-hmm. legs moving, and that's him. That's mm-hmm. he's supposed to be that way.
Right.
That's how he's shaped.
You to me look like you tiptoe, like you have this like anti-gravity thing.
Yeah, people like, say like you're it playing looks like piano. I'm dancing or something.
Yeah, like you're playing the piano yeah. or something. You have a different vibe about it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Going back to surfboard shape, computer-aided design, is that something that's, you know, your thumbs up, yes?
I use it. Yeah, I use it. It's great. You know, if you got – I use a KKL machine. I think it's the best one. And there's reasons why I don't want to go on the technical part of it, but I think it's the best one. If your files are good, the boards are good.
Mm-hmm.
If files are bad, the boards are bad. I mean, if it's going to copy what you design.
Well, and you still finish it.
Oh, I finish it.
You know
yeah,
what I'm
exactly.
saying? Like, I like the yeah. idea, too, because it feels like you have a great foundation.
Yeah,
and then
you
come
to.
In and you work your magic, and it's symmetrical foundation.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, the KKL machine is very accurate, but I blend everything in. It's got the Lay's potato chip thing mm-hmm. all over it, you know, and so I got to blend that all in. And I can play with it a little bit if I
right.
know the guys... I know what surfing's like. I can even change it just a little bit here and there. And
when you design
it.
Those boards, are you designing a half a surfboard and then it replicates it?
I design a whole surfboard to replicate one half, so they're perfectly symmetrical.
Right.
So they
okay.
scan one half of the board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's great because I can't shape that good.
Yeah. Well, that's the point I was saying. Right. Is the foundation is perfectly square.
Yeah. Perfectly symmetrical
yeah.
on this side of the string and the same. So it's a great thing. And you know, I say 99% of shortboards are all. CAD-CAM machines, and I think, you know, longboards are a little different. It depends. I think there's more guys who experiment with shapes in the fish zone and in the mid-range zone and in the longboards than the shortboards. When you go into any shop, guaranteed, there's no hand-shaped boards in there.
Two questions. One is, different materials are you using different materials nowadays with, you know, carbon fiber and so forth that are now in boards, and also I have coming on in a few weeks is Glenn DeWitt from Rainbow Fins.
Yes,
they're also celebrating 50 years of making fins. How important is the fin, or you're shaping that board for somebody, and what do you recommend as far as fins are concerned?
Well, I work with Rainbow Fins, Glenn and Sarah. They're great folks. I have my own fin templates for different boards, so they make those exclusively. I don't go overseas and get them for half the price. I want to keep everything here in Santa Cruz, and I've known those guys for 45 years. So that's not an issue with me. Making fins here is great. Fins are important. Mm-hmm. Where they're put on the board is really important. I could make a great surfboard and put the fin boxes in the wrong place and have it not work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot to say for that. And also individual style. Some people are front-footed. Some people are back-footed. Move the fins around, you know.
Right.
That's what's so cool about fin boxes. So,
where can you learn where to put the fins? Is it something you've got to try by yourself, or is there somewhere you can go learn where to put the fins in the right spot?
If the board's not designed right, there's future systems in it, you know, boxes. You can't move those. A Bane box, which is the big 10-inch box, you can move that fin around. So whenever I make a single fin longboard, I say, this is where I think it should be, but you can move it up or back. If the board feels stiff, move it up a little bit. It feels too squirrely, move it back a little bit.
Right.
A quarter inch makes a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say, try it out, you know. And I talked to a buddy the other day. I made him a carver board. His name's Jake, and he's Darshan's brother. And he had just moved his fin a little bit, and he said it was riding unreal, and now it's unbelievable.
Right.
So just a quarter inch, moving the fin, and now he says the board works even better than I thought.
I think people with single fin longboards should play with fins more.
Yeah.
You know, because you get a board comes with a fin, you just assume that's the fin.
Right.
And for your style, it's just we're generalizing as a designer.
Yeah.
But playing with the fins, because I learned I like flex fins.
Yeah, I have big log fins, and I have a number of different flex fins, different sizes and templates, and they were great.
Yeah, but boards don't really come with flex fins. I don't know about your particular boards, but like, so I had to discover that on my own.
Okay.
I think people should.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, experiment with fins.
Experimenting with fins is great. We sell a few fins on our website, and people buy them all over the place and send them out. You know, so it works great.
And and the Bane boxes and futures too.
Yeah.
Side bites and everything.
Yeah, it all depends on what board they order. If it's a quad, I got the future systems in there. I do quite a few 2+1s, which is a fiberglass fin in the middle and then two small side bites.
Mm-hmm.
And those work great.
TC?
Yes, sir.
Before we get a break, this portion of the show is brought to you by...
Boom.
People's Coffee.
Curtis, the man.
Who here goes to People's Coffee? I know I do.
I like going there.
Huh?
We meet there before the show quite often.
Yeah, we meet there a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
I know John Leopold, Supervisor John Leopold, has this Live Oak town meetings in that place. So,
wow.
They got fresh coffee. They got organic food. They got great stuff. My kid used to work there and got his start there.
It's a local business.
It's a local business. So
don't give your money to Starbucks.
No,
go
please
see
don't.
Curtis. Give him a high five.
All these fancy schmancy places too.
Yeah.
No,
we're down with
nothing.
The local biz.
Yeah. Go stop by People's Coffee right there on the corner of 17th and Bromer. Neil here with TC and the one and only Michelle Janot. Be right back.
Attention surfers and paddleboarders. Don't let cold water or cold air take you out of the water for 5 to 6 weeks. Protect your ear canals with custom-made earplugs. The Listening Stack in Capitola is now offering custom earplugs molded to fit your ears perfectly, comfortably protecting your ear canals from the harsh elements of the Pacific Ocean. Stop messing with universal earplugs that don't work and try something that does. Mention Off the Lip Radio and receive an extra $20 off any custom molded earplugs in our store. The Listening Stack is located at the corner of Capitola Avenue at 41st. Listening Stack. Protect, enhance, enjoy. 831-498-9890.
Thinking of a vacation in Santa Cruz? Then contact Beach Nest Vacation Rentals at 831-722-0888 to make your reservation. The very best local vacation management company with their staff will take care of the tiniest of details to better your memorable Monterey Bay holiday. They are pet friendly with a choice of homes on or close to the beach in Santa Cruz and the Central Coast. For further information, go to beachnest.com or follow them on Facebook.
Chill Out Cafe on 41st Avenue Santa Cruz is not just a block from some of the world's best surf, but it is also where you can go relax and order the tastiest grub before and after your sesh. Plumperitos, fresh salads, sky-high sandwiches, and a superb selection of hot and cold drinks. They have something for you. Go to chilloutcafesantacruz.com to view their menu, and to place your order to go, call 831-477-0543. Chill Out Cafe, where they roll the fatties.
And we are back with the Off the Lip Radio Show right here on KSCO. You can watch the show live on Facebook with Santa Cruz Waves. Really quickly, the show upcoming show is Dr. Wallace J. Nichols next week, who wrote the book The Blue Mind. Our 250th anniversary show, The Expendables,
wow,
will be in studio.
That's a show.
February 6th, The Merman.
Boom, that's a big band.
February 13th, 50 Years of Rainbow Fins.
Glenn DeWitt.
February 20th, Santa Cruz Police Chief Andy Mills. February 27th, great band, Alex Lucero and Live Again. March 6th, Pat, Seth, and Jackson Taylor. March 27th, The Devil's Sliders. Remember those kids came in and rocked the place?
Black Sabbath and KSCO?
And last but not least, April 10th, Mr. Rob Roskopf.
Man, we're booked.
We're booked.
Yeah.
In studio tonight. Speaking of booked.
Yep.
If you want to get a surfboard for him, you better get hold of his website, the best place?
Website or 831-427-0712. I will call you back if I'm in the shaping room.
Okay. So, again, that phone number to get a surfboard is?
831-427-0712.
All right.
So someone calls you and they say, hey, Michelle, I want to get a 9.6. I want it to nose ride. I surf here. You discuss it with them. They meet with you. Do they get to watch this board get created?
What I usually do is I want, if they're in the neighborhood, I want them to come down. Anywhere in the Bay Area, we make a time to come down and talk.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to meet them. I want to see what they're riding. You know, I spend a lot of time with people.
And amazing.
So not many people do that because I want them to be happy. They're going to lay down, you know, $1,000 for a new longboard. If they're going to, you know, they're going to want to, I want to be happy.
Of course.
I want to guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about all that, everything from the shape, where they're riding, what board they're riding now, what do they want to do different. I'll usually critique the board and say, well, and I'm pretty good at critiquing boards. I've been around them for so long. So I can actually tell the person how the board works. I go, how'd you know that? Well, I've made tens of thousands of these things, you know, and so that's how I know what makes them work. And then they'll go into everything, the color, and we have my own glass shop, mm-hmm. So everything's all customized. And I just enjoy doing that. And then they pick up the board, and they usually get back to me, and they're happy about it.
And I thought of something that's so old school, and is actually watching the shaper mow foam, because it's cut on the machine. It happens in two different places from a glass shop. And so there's a step sort of that's missing now from, you know, the world of past in surfboard design.
Yeah.
You know, because seeing it cut on the machine isn't as extraordinary as watching it as being shaped by hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay, when you go to heaven, right, which surfboard are you taking with you?
I'll probably have a few there already.
Now, which one? No,
if you, heaven's you got, a one surfboard
you go to heaven,
spot.
Okay, which? I mean, when you're 4 years
one,
old, when you're 4 years old, you couldn't put your arm around a surfboard, but now you can.
Yeah.
So you go to heaven. Which one are you taking? Which board are you taking with you?
Well, I'm a Christian, so I believe I'll have a new body, and it won't be as old as this one.
Uh-huh.
So I'll probably have a really high-performance shortboard. If I can catch the wave, I can rip on it, you know.
Yeah.
The problem with getting old...
Are the waves perfect in heaven? They probably are, huh?
But the deal is with getting old is, and I'm starting to experience this, I broke my hip, I'm doing fine, that when you get up in the... I'm 69, you get in the late 60s, early 70s, the reason you have to stop surfing is you can't get up anymore.
Hmm.
In other words, you can't get to your feet fast enough. And the SUP has kind of saved this geritol generation. With that whole thing, you're already standing up.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got there yet. But I think that's one of the things that goes first. You can still surf and, you know, you got all the muscle memory and all the stuff. But once you can't get up anymore, then it's kind of tough.
Or I have a friend who's going through it where it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't want to, like, blow it in front of his peers. Because he can't. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it gets frustrating.
Well, we have a man here in the studio who had, you know, knee surgery. I'm sure he's wondering. You know, he has a brand new Michelle. I mean, how many times have you ridden that Jeannot board? Twice.
And then he had to go under the knife.
Right. Now he's been under the knife.
Right.
I mean, you know.
It's
not going to be easy. He may have to switch.
Well, I'm just going to say,
no,
Doug,
a big board.
Doug Hout's got a knee board.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's always that, too.
There's no rules right now in the ocean. And
when Doug pulled that knee board out of his van, I saw it and he pulled it out. And I go, Doug, this is awesome. Because that is like, so that's not the SUP. He's not throwing the white flag up yet.
Yeah.
He's going to get on the knee board and go shredding.
These are for Merch 4 socks.
Every guest
gets a pair of Merch 4 socks.
Those are from Michelle. Every guest gets a pair of Merch 4s.
They
sponsor the show, and they are local, and they are a quality sock brand.
I was putting my socks on tonight to come here, and I have black socks on with dark-colored tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, I'd like to get into some of these radically colored
ones.
Here I am.
Yeah, I know. I'm stoked. She's stoked.
Thank you.
Yeah. Make a guy happy. See,
yeah.
make a shaper happy. You know, give him a pair of socks.
Socks are fun.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
And Merch 4 is a fun company.
Michelle, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, we're almost done.
Hey, I'll do it again.
I know you will.
We keep talking.
First of all, the T-shirt is that you wore tonight. Thanks to Vin
Scully.
Scully, right? It was perfect.
Right,
it was perfect for the show. I'd like to have a show where you come back in the future and we just say, TC and I just don't say anything. You just rattle off like 10 stories.
I like to talk.
I got a lot of stories, but you remember them too, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
The short term ones now, they're good, but the old ones, I still got those.
You were in the North Shore of Hawaii during one of the most historical periods of surfing.
Yep.
In my opinion, is that the 70s on the North Shore were one of the most magical times in surfing.
Billy Hamilton.
And there's a lot of stories, and like it was so back then, so photogenic. Images were like historical, and a lot of those images you were there to witness. And
yeah,
it'd be cool to talk about that.
It was pretty cool. One thing I'll mention, if you haven't seen that movie called Breaking Down the Door, it's about the Australians and the whole thing that came down. I was there then, and it was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, both sides did some stupid stuff. But it wasn't even crowded then. I'm amazed it doesn't happen more now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But there was also a kind of a tragic time in the North Shore when heroin swept through the North Shore. And almost 50% of the guys were junkies and not surfing. I mean, trippy things happened.
Yeah.
And the benefit was it wasn't crowded. But, you know, that happens in all kinds of sports.
Yeah. Our next show? Yeah. We're going to go into the Hawaiian years.
All right. Let's do that.
Yep.
Thanks, Michelle, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Fig, for supporting the show.
Thanks, Fig.
Bringing down the lemon bars, which I will not have another one on.
No way.
Well, thanks, TC, for coming. And thanks, Chris, our engineer tonight.
Star Benny, on our way.
Oh, we're going to go to Star Benny. I know I'm having him in the steak again.
Chicken piccata.
You going to chicken piccata?
Yeah, it's so good.
All right. Right down there is Star Benny, which is like, what?
A block?
A couple blocks down from
right up the road.
S-C-O. Thanks, everybody, for listening tonight. We really do appreciate it. Got some great shows coming up. And next week, Dr. Wallace J. Nichols, the author of the book The Blue Mind, has a lot to say about the ocean and how it all heals us. So it's going to be a very, very interesting show. He's a great guest, great to listen to. We'll see you next week. And see you tomorrow night. I've got a band tomorrow night, Sasha's Money, coming on the Hour Local Radio Show. Some music tomorrow night from 7 to 8 p.m. Tune in. Good night, everyone. See you next week with Dr. Wallace J. Nichols. Good night.
From Capitola to Carmel, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
breaking news this hour from townhall.com. Patrick Foss, Democratic Senator Chris Coons, says lawmakers need to do some old-fashioned bargaining over the next few days to avoid a government shutdown.
We have a significant menu and very little time to get it done. Do I believe that we can ever reach a compromise? I think that's what we got hired to do. Our system doesn't work without it. And without finding some responsible compromise, we're going to see the federal government shut down this Friday.
Republican Senator Tom Tillis says right now there are real differences over key issues as the clock ticks towards a government shutdown.
I think we've got to get reasonable-minded people around the table and come up with a compromise that'll work.
Republican leaders in Congress seem to have abandoned efforts to reach a broad budget agreement before federal funding runs out Friday, and they're now simply hoping to pass a short-term spending bill to avert the shutdown. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says there needs to be a unified front among allied nations in upholding sanctions against North Korea.
To implement the maximum pressure campaign are essential to resolving this situation through diplomatic means, as the United States hopes to do. Our nations repeated a unified message that we have sent the regime before. We will not accept a nuclear-armed North Korea.
The two Koreas are meeting Wednesday for the third time in about 10 days. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner says his city streets are icy.
I'm asking you, unless it's an extreme emergency, to please stay off the roads. Do not get on the roads. It's very difficult. Many of these overpasses, bridges, are icing over.
Rain, sleet, and freezing temperatures led to icy roads across the Houston area Tuesday. California authorities say the mother of 13 children kept locked in filthy conditions was perplexed about why police came to their home. Riverside County Sheriff's Captain Greg Fellows described the reaction of Luis Turpin, but didn't know the reaction of the father. The children, some of them chained to furniture, were described as small for their age. Fellows called it torture. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm just so upset. I'm having so much trouble getting to sleep. Well, I'd wake up in the middle of the night worrying all over again. I'm wearing down. There's no one I trust, no one I can open up to. But I've got to find someone I can talk to. I can't keep going on like this.
She found help, and so can you. We are Faithful Counseling, the world's largest platform for faith-based professional counseling. Our Christian counselors are all licensed, trained, and experienced, qualified and certified by the state board. But more importantly, we share your Christian values. Available 24/7 by text, messaging, phone, and video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. We'd like to invite you to try your first week free by going to faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP. That's faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP to get your first week free. Faithful Counseling, we're here when you need us.
President Trump's overall health is excellent, and he did exceedingly well on cognitive screening.
In a detailed briefing, White House physician Dr. Ronnie Jackson reviewed the results of the president's medical checkup and said Mr. Trump passed with flying colors.
All clinical data indicates that the president is currently very healthy and that he will remain so for the duration of his presidency.
The president's heart exam was normal, as was his blood pressure. Dr. Jackson said he will be working with Mr. Trump to lose some weight and lower his total cholesterol, which was 223. The doctor also said he had absolutely no concerns about the 71-year-old president's cognitive abilities, but performed the screening because the president asked him to do it. Greg Clugston, The White House.
President Trump's Homeland Security Secretary is the latest GOP official to offer an inconclusive version of a meeting in which Mr. Trump is said to have used vulgar remarks. Kirstjen Nielsen testified at a congressional hearing that she did not hear Mr. Trump use a certain vulgarity. This is townhall.com. Victim statements have begun and will last through the week in Michigan in a sentencing hearing for disgraced former sports doctor Larry Nassar.
About 100 women and girls are expected to speak to talk about the sexual abuse and emotional trauma inflicted on them by Nassar. One of them is Kyle Stevens.
You used my body for 6 years for your own sexual gratification. That is unforgivable.
Nassar bowed his head with his eyes closed or looked away as Stevens spoke.
Little girls don't stay little forever. They grow into strong women that return to destroy your world.
Prosecutors want 40 to 125 years in prison. Olympic gold medalist Simone Biles says she was among the athletes sexually abused by Nassar. I'm Ed Donahue.
Boston Celtics great JoJo White has died. The 71-year-old White, who was inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in 2015, had been battling cancer. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.